Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Lucas and Crawford B-Ball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And, of course, I am Greg Crawford. I host this show, and I usually am joined by Richard Lucas, but he is such a wimp. He takes the summers off. And so we do a lot of different things. We bring on a lot of coaches. We do a lot of basketball. We bring on a lot of people that are involved in basketball from administrative situation. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk to one of my favorite guests I ever have on the radio, Robert Cashel, who is the commissioner of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, one tremendous NAIA conference. And in basketball, and maybe Robert will tell us in other sports too, but in at men's basketball, I think it's the best conference in the country on that level. But if you want to follow me, Greg Crawford, you can do it at WC Hoops or at my brand new web sports page, www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. But right now, let's go to Robert Cashel, who is the commissioner of the Cascade Collegiate Conference. And Robert, good evening. Where are you joining us from tonight?
Hey, good evening, Greg. Yeah, I'm joining you from my home office in LeGrand.
And we're hoping that you get some rain over there to put out all these fires. We never like bad weather in Oregon, but boy, we need some rain throughout the state, and that's had an effect on everyone.
Yeah, we really do, and you know, not only over here, we've been dealing with fires in and around the LeGrand area, but certainly in the Baker City area, and then you know, up in eastern Washington as well. So a lot of people working real hard to try to get that all under control, and definitely having an effect. But you know, we'll deal with it like we do with everything.
You know, and it, when it comes to sports and quality of air, a lot of people concerned about the, you know, outside air. I imagine that's something you kind of have to monitor with outside events.
Well, you know, we're monitoring it right now. And a matter of fact, we're assessing all the different information out there and looking to come up with a policy for the conference as we move into this. You know, I've been over here for 14 years now, and this is the first year where we've really had to deal with it to this extent. So, you know, a lot of the schools have some policies and stuff, and as we approach conference action, we're looking at, you know, do we need a conference policy as well? And so we're assessing a lot of different things and reaching out to other organizations and seeing what they're doing.
You know, speaking of the conference and addressing things, I you know, hear over and over again, and I've seen it firsthand, and I love dealing with you. What a great job you're doing. But I've often thought everybody talks about, you know, great athletic directors in a conference, and you definitely need them. But you have a great group of presidents to work with, too. And I happen to know two of them personally, Dr. Cook and Dr. Maples, Dr. Cook at Warner Pacific, and Chris Maples. I used to call him Chris down at OIT, but throughout the league, they're terrific people. And they, I think, Robert, the great thing is they understand the value of sports in the overall educational experience.
Well, they do, and you're right. We have great presidents, and you know, if you're a president at a small university in the United States right now, you know how important enrollment is, and you know that athletics can drive enrollment to a large extent, and so our presidents are highly engaged, and the NAIA has made a real push to get presidents more engaged, and we did too in our conference. You know, it's almost 10 years ago now when we went to our presidents who hadn't met in 14 years and said, hey, we need your leadership and we need to hire a full-time commissioner and we want to get after it. And you know, lo and behold, they were right there. And you know, people like Dr. Les Peirce up at Evergreen State, who's retiring, and Marv Henberg at College of Idaho, who's retiring. We're going to miss them, but, you know, they were very influential folks. And, And the presidents are key to have as we continue to grow and do good things as a conference and on each individual campus.
You know, and speaking of growing, you've lost Concordia this year, but you picked up two very good schools. It's kind of ironic with me in that a lot of people know and some don't that I work at Adventist Medical Center, the big hospital, and right across the street I can look out and I can watch Warner Pacific play practice soccer and play their games, and then I'm about a mile away from their campus, and then I'm a mile away from Multnomah that you've added, and then of course on our own hospital campus we have the Walla Walla School of Nursing, so maybe I have a closer tie to the Cascade Collegiate Conference than I know.
yeah, you're right there. You're part of the family. That's fantastic. Yeah, you know, we did. We added Walla Walla University and Multnomah as full members, and really, you know, we're excited about that on a lot of different levels. Number one, you know, both of those schools have shown a tremendous desire, and they've shown the willingness to change their athletic programs. You know, they were both, not that they were doing it poorly, but they want to do it differently. And they're going to emphasize it differently. They've added programs. They want to be more competitive. And we're very excited to have them in the league. And like I've told them, you know, I've met with them on their campuses, met with their presidents. Certainly, you know, they went through a vetting process before we voted them in. And, you know, we've told them, hey, we're here to stand beside you and help you get better. And it's going to take some time, but we're very excited about having those two schools in our conference.
And as I mentioned, working in an Adventist hospital, I personally am not Adventist faith myself, but I understand it. And the Sabbath with Adventist starts on Friday night at sundown, ends on Saturday night. So that's created some unique challenges for you scheduling, but you seem to have done a great job with it.
Well, it has created some challenges, but, you know, with our conference makeup, you know, we're predominantly, we have faith-based schools and of many different denominations. We have state schools, so we're somewhat used to working around different issues or different things that each campus finds valuable. So, you know, yes, it was a challenge, but I think our coaches, our ADs, our presidents have really been very flexible and understanding, and I think we've done some unique things, and that's going to allow good participation and allow all of us to continue to get the games in, and pretty soon it'll be, I think after 1 year of each season, it'll be, hey, that's how we do it, and we'll just move on.
Robert, in your expert opinion, and I have so much admiration for you, and I don't make comments about anyone that knows me. They always say, "Great, you don't make comments unless you mean them, do you?" And that's absolutely correct. I think you're a fabulous commissioner. How important are facilities, you know, in the overall sports plan? And I say that because I know that Warner plays on a kind of a not a neutral site, but they play up the street about a mile, as a lot of people know, for soccer. And then Multnomah has a great gym. Warner probably needs a new gym, although it's a fabulous place to watch basketball. And I'm just using those as maybe some examples. But how important are facilities to a successful athletic program?
Well, you know, the years I spent as an athletic director, I would say my focus on facilities were pretty high because of all of those things you're talking about, from recruiting potential student athletes to hosting events to having recreational opportunities for your campus, a good experience for your fans. The opportunity to host postseason, whether it's conference or national type stuff, it's very important. Higher education, in my opinion, and athletics to a large extent, you know, it's very competitive, and people are out kicking the tires, if you will, and they want to know what they're going to get for the value of the dollars that they're spending. And that might be, for a general student, you know, it might be, hey, what's the recreational center like, and what's the student union building like? So, you know, facilities, I think, across the campus are real important. Athletics in particular, from recruitment, from your health and safety and your well-being and you know, all those things that are necessary. You know, a lot of the schools I've worked at, Greg, you know, they've been kind of the schools or the facilities that were built in maybe late 70s or 80s, and they weren't necessarily built to bring in 1,000, 1,500 people. They were more built as a physical education environment. So a lot of changes you're seeing to facilities now are more fan-friendly and the experience, not only for the student-athlete, but for the people coming and watching the athletic event.
Yeah, very well said. And is you, in your role as commissioner, is part of your role, you know, to maybe give a little nudge to places that, you know, you kind of say, well, you guys might want to upgrade your softball field, or, you know, I should say your football field, or I'm just using a bad example there. I'll just go with the basketball. You might want to upgrade your gym.
Well, you know, I think that that's a fine line as a commissioner, because, you know, certainly schools are entitled to and will be setting their own priorities and things like that on the campus. I think where facilities comes to play for me is we have guidelines for just about everything, whether it's what you need to provide to a visiting team, what type of facility you need to have in terms of, you know, is your playing field, regulation size, that kind of stuff. So those are really the areas that I concentrate on. Now, there's also opportunities there to maybe consult or mentor or help people who are looking at facility renovations or looking at how do we, you know, what should we rent if we don't own our own or if we're looking for a lease opportunity. So that would be probably more, and that is more where I spend my time in terms of helping people make sense of their facilities that they currently have, or maybe what they're moving towards or what they need in terms to be involved in the conference.
I personally am not a big goals guy, but I know a lot of people are, but I'm more a deadline guy, and I always state this, that 97% of the people never attain their goals, but 50% of the people in the United States make their deadlines. I'm more of a deadline guy. Do you have a perfect scenario where you'd like to see the Cascade Collegiate Conference be in the next 3 to 5 years? Do you like the number of teams now? Are you always looking to add if it's the perfect fit? How do you see the conference being 5 years down the road?
Well, you know, hopefully we'll be on a trend of not, maybe not so much as much growth as we've had, but certainly stability. One of the key things is maintaining our current membership, and you know, we've expanded our footprint quite a bit with the bringing on the associate members that we have in soccer and softball. We've expanded our footprint into Montana with bringing in 3 schools in those sports, as well as British Columbia now for softball. So I think we want to constantly be aware of that footprint and what that means in terms of the student-athlete experience, travel impacts, financial impacts, et cetera. Depending on the sport, really dictates what the number should look like. Anytime you have an even number, it's easier to schedule, and it works out better than an odd number, it seems. So, you know, we're at 11 full-time members right now. We're not necessarily looking for another full-time member, because to be real honest with you, there's no one in our footprint that has indicated a desire either to move from D3 or D2 into NAIA. There's no schools that we're aware of that don't have athletic programs that are thinking of adding. So I think for the short term, it feels like 11 is probably where we're going to be. With that said, I think you always have to be in a position to be proactive and not reactive to things. So we're always keeping our eyes open on the landscape of college athletics, and really, I think that was part of our growth strategy when we added Walla Walla and Multnomah, and then reached out and added associate members. Is we wanted to be proactive and control our destiny rather than the other way around. If you look at the NAIA out west, if you take in California, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, Montana, there's under 40 NAIA schools participating out here. So we really felt like it was important to, hey, let's control where we're going rather than be controlled by what other people are doing.
Robert, a quick comment from you on, I have so many friends over there at Concordia. You're saying goodbye to them. You have. I think we all wish them the best, but they meant a lot to the Cascade Collegiate Conference, and I think everybody's got to look at it. They were a big part of helping make the conference great, which it is right now.
Oh, no question. A fantastic school for us, and they're going to be missed for lots of reasons. Not only their competitiveness, and you're 100% right. In various sports, they really raised the bar, and people were trying to catch up to them. And more so, though, I think we're all going to miss the people. Matt English, who was the AD there, who ended up leaving. Congratulations to Matt. He got married, and they've transitioned to California. Just an outstanding person. Their coaches, good people to be around. And I think more than anything, we're going to miss those relationships that are so easy. And one of the great things about small college athletics is you're able to build those relationships. You know, that big money and those big championship TV dollars aren't at stake. So you're able to really concentrate on the important things, which is building relationships and helping young men and women be successful. But no doubt we're going to miss them on a lot of different levels. We wish them well in the GMAC. And as I've told them, from my perspective as the commissioner, the door is always open, and we'd love to welcome them back.
Yeah, I think that door might crack open a little wider at some point, but that's just my opinion. Maybe it's a prejudicial one. You know, and speaking of losing people, we'll never lose him, but the legendary, iconic, there's so many adjectives to use here in proper words, Danny Miles, retiring this year, and it's nice to know that University of Portland's going to play them on the 13th of November. I know a lot of the people out there with the Pilots, they're really excited about honoring him. He's going to make his grand tour. I know that he doesn't want anything really done, but I know a lot of special things will happen. He will be sorely missed, not only as a basketball coach and his teams, but just the person he is.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't know that there's words that I have that can adequately explain, you know, what Danny Miles has meant to Oregon Tech, the state of Oregon, the Cascade Conference, the game of basketball, and the NAIA. It's just, it's really, there's a few people that have done what he's done, and it's pretty unparalleled. And for this to be, I believe, his 45th year at Oregon Tech, and to do what he's done, three national titles, and you never know. I was joking the other day. They won it in 04, they won it in 08, they won it in 12, and to me, that's a little bit of a trend. So 16, wouldn't that be something if Danny rode out with another championship?
Yeah, and I'm sure you've heard Chris Maples. I had him on the radio a couple weeks ago, and like you, he did a tremendous job. And he mentioned that one brief story that about he was somewhere back east, and he's wearing a OIT basketball shirt, and the woman walked up and says, "You're not Danny Miles, are you?" And he says, "No, I'm I'm Chris Maples. I happen to be the president. Chris is very humble and understated always. Says, no, I don't want to talk to you. I wish it would have been Danny Miles. So that's how we <you
know. laughs> Well, you know, Danny
and you know,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Robert, to parlay on something you said about Concordia, he's made everybody better.
Oh, no question. I mean, for how many years was OIT and the gold standard in the Cascade and nationally? And, you know, the last couple of years, they haven't been quite as high as they have been in the past, and it's really kind of shocked everybody. But I think most of that is everybody else working hard to get better. I don't know that OIT has lost anything. I think everybody else is working that much harder to get to the top. And you know, he is. He's such a humble guy. He's a Christian man. He's just, you know, he has every right, I guess, if you want to, and I don't know if that's the right word, but to be arrogant or to be, you know, hey, I'm Danny Miles. And you know, if you didn't know him, you'd never know the kind of success the guy has had. And you know, he just wants to coach kids and help them get better and help them be successful people in their lives. And his classroom has been an athletic field, whether it's been baseball, softball, football, or a basketball court. That's been his classroom. And you know, the hundreds and thousands of kids he's affected, it's tremendous. Unbelievable amount of respect for the guy, and we're going to miss him.
And we have a ton of listeners tonight, you know, because you do such a great job always, and Cascade is popular. Robert, I do encourage everybody to go back and Google the New York Times story about Danny Miles, which I had a small part in that, in that I knew Greg Bishop, who wrote the story, and I said, Greg, you won't believe what a story this would be. And he kind of looked into it, and he says, Greg, I got to convince some people. You know, we're the New York Times. I got to convince them to come out here. So about 2 months later, he says, Greg, I'm coming out for 6 days. And the minute he left Klamath Falls and hung around everybody, Robert, he says, I knew this story was going to be good, but it was 100 times better. And quite frankly, it's the longest story the New York Times has ever had, sports story. So I encourage people to read that story.
Yeah, it is. It's a fantastic story. And again, I think that speaks to the power of small college athletics and really the great things that are happening on our campus, not only in the athletic department, but in the theater department and in the chemistry department and in the president's offices. You know, there's just something so special about a small college atmosphere. If people would give it a chance, or if they find themselves on a small campus, I think I think they would really enjoy it. Danny's one of the best, he's going to be fishing and doing his stuff. We're really happy for him. But selfishly, we'd love for him to stick around forever.
Absolutely, and speaking of small college, you're in La Grande, Oregon, a wonderful school, Eastern Oregon, and one of your most famous graduates was about the fifth person I ever met when I arrived on the Linfield College campus, Ted Wilson, probably one of the most successful basketball coaches ever in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, it's just great. Just as you can tell, I've got a lot of passion for our conference and our schools, and it's just a great group of people to be around. And you know, we're so excited for this new year, and it is a year of change, and it's a year of new things and new schedules and some new, hopefully building some new rivalries and some different things going on, but very, very excited about it.
And I think Multnomah and Walla Walla, it's a process, but I think they're going to be great additions. I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize Walla Walla has a tremendous history of great universities and colleges, all the way from Whitman to Walla Walla University to Walla Walla Community College. They're all highly rated. And then Multnomah being right in the heart of Portland with Concordia leaving. Multnomah is actually, as you know, Robert, is dead center Portland, Oregon. And to have them and build a rivalry with Warner in your largest city, I think those are all positive things. And not to exclude anybody else, but, you know, it's just going to be great.
Yeah, we're excited about that. You know, to keep a presence in Portland and, you know, in addition to Warner, and they've done a great job there. You mentioned President Cook. Love working with President Cook and you know, Corbin just down the road, Northwest Christian, Northwest up the road in the Seattle area, Evergreen State. And, you know, again, we have a big footprint and, you know, our student athletes work hard. They're, you know, most of them are on limited athletic aid, if any. And you know, they're truly doing it for the love of the sport and they're graduating. You know, all of our schools have higher graduation rates for their student athletes than the general student population. And you know, they're doing good things and they're walking out of there with their degrees and hopefully they're learning some things and teaching us some things as well.
Robert, I was just going to ask you to do a little commercial about the Cascade Collegiate Conference, but you beat me to the punch with that great answer. So I'll conclude with this. I think our listeners are always intrigued by successful people. And how do you manage your day? What's a day like for you? Is it always changing? How much travel do you have to do? I'll ask you that in conclusion.
Well, you know, it is always changing, and that's probably what I like most about it is, you know, you just never know what phone call might come in or email or what issue you might be dealing with. But, you know, that's what's exciting about it and not doing the same thing day after day, hour after hour is exciting to me. So I'm very blessed to have a career and a job in an area that I love. And I can honestly tell you, I don't think there's too many times where I've ever in my career, in my 25 years in higher education, thought I really was going to work. I'm pretty lucky to get to do what I do.
Well, I think the Cascade Collegiate Conference is not only lucky, but they're fortunate to have you. You're a very humble person. But you're doing a terrific job. I enjoy working with you on a limited basis, and I'm always going to be a big supporter of the conference and do what I can to promote athletics. And I know you'll join us again in a couple months. We like to have you on every 2 to 3 months and talk about the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Awesome job tonight, per usual.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the support that you give small college athletics and the Cascade Conference. It's much appreciated.
You betcha. I'll always be there. And that is Robert Cashel, the commissioner of the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Thanks for listening tonight. We really enjoyed having Robert on. We'll definitely have him on again in the next 2 to 3 months, as we love to do, as I said. And we love you, listeners. If you're listening the first time, spread the word. Spread the word if you listen often. And thank you. Big, huge audience tonight showing the power of the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Good night, everyone. And don't forget to make your free throws and your putts.